All right, make sure you're in fellowship as we hear in the context of happiness, plus H, inner joy, inner happiness. We're looking at phase two happiness. Happiness obviously begins with the salvation adjustment. Then it is extended in time through our orientation to Bible doctrine as believers. It is not simply a thing that we can have if we feel like it or we don't. It is an aspect of pursuit that is commanded by the Scriptures. It is one of the royal imperatives to be happy, to look at Bible doctrine as a source of happiness, being in fellowship, part of God's plan, recognizing all that it means to us in regards to our own lives. It is part of the normal function of the adjusted believer, and that's what we're dealing with here from the numeral 5, subpoint B of our notes. 2 Corinthians 13:11 again. We saw it earlier. Where we're to, as a local church, individually, corporately, we are to rejoice, be made complete, pursue the maturity adjustment in our happiness, be comforted, like-minded, live in peace. And then we have the assets of God's blessing promised to us for so pursuing in 1 Peter 1:8. The exhortation of the Apostle Peter in his orientation to God's plan passed on to believers, recognizing our complete focus on God, obviously our attitude towards him is all determining in regards to being the recipient of his blessings otherwise. And as verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to his great mercy, has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, recognizing the aspect of salvation beginning phase 1, that then leads us into exploit God's blessings otherwise, phase 2, and phase 3, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable, knowing what God's Word promises with respect to simply believing in Christ to begin with, that we are then in line for an inheritance, obviously dependent upon our own orientation to God's plan after the fact as to the degree of inheritance, but inheritance nevertheless, and undefiled, will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. The SG3 that we are able to accumulate as being children of God who are protected by the power of God through faith for a deliverance, ready to be revealed in the last time. That ultimate deliverance is seen in our resurrection bodies, which will then be clothed with this SG3, obviously having the availability and the ability to appreciate what SG3 is for us only in resurrection condition. In this you greatly rejoice. Verse 6, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, knowing that our application of perseverance in doctrine is not all for naught. We know that God will reward those who hang in there with it and apply doctrine, even when we are in the condition of testing, the pressures brought upon us by the cosmos. Verse 7, that the proof or evidence of your faith being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. The deliverance of resurrection will be for us at the rapture occurrence in that respect. In verse 8, and though you have not seen him, you love him. We live by faith. We've not seen the humanity of Christ personally, physically, with our physical eyes. But yet, what is it that brings about this embracing of his person? It is the spiritual realities of our very being and the existence of the world otherwise and universe. We love him, and though you do not see him now, but believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. Sometimes it's hard to put words to the experience of inner happiness and joy, but it will be fully magnified and expressed at the rapture otherwise in that respect. So see, phase two, happiness is a byproduct then of the filling of God the Holy Spirit. To appreciate this happiness, to fully engage in it, one must be in fellowship, Galatians 5:22, as it is part of the fruit of the Spirit, is joy, is love, first divine love, then joy, second in the list. Amazing what getting in fellowship can do for your mental attitude. Overrule the sin nature. Quit letting it dictate to you the self-induced misery that our sin nature often likes to put upon ourselves. To have joy in peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, etc. In the long list of productions of the filling of God the Holy Spirit. So D, it comes as a result of knowing and applying Bible doctrine. Psalm 106, 3. Happiness as a result of blessing. So hence, obviously, to be blessed is to be happy, to experience the happiness. Psalm 106:3, how blessed are those who keep justice, who practice righteousness at all times. Bible doctrine is just not as I feel like it proposition. It is a way of life. It is something that we seek to persevere and perpetuate in regards to our Christian life. And when we do so, we're blessed. We find the inner happiness, the inner joy, etc., in its maximum availability for us. Psalm 112, 1. Praise the Lord. How blessed is the man who fears the Lord. Fear of the Lord. Wisdom begins with the fear of the Lord. So first you must access the truth. Hear the truth. That is truly fearing God, who greatly delights in his commandments. We all misstep on occasion, but to think about living life without applying the doctrine as we've learned it for those who are truly just, it's just a thought that we don't want to really have. See, what kind of life would it be without doctrine? Well, there are a lot of people, obviously, that have gotten it, and they're out there, they're experiencing it now because they've left doctrine. But for those who remain adjusted, it really is no life. What do you got? What do you got that the world has to offer for you? It's unbelievable what people will peel from doctrine in order to gain an advantage in some area otherwise. I mean, you know, you might understand, oh yeah, it's $4 billion. Okay, I can see the weakness. You know, I might come and visit you and violate that doctrine, you know, separation anyway. But no, it's generally for repentance, for a relationship that, as some people obviously learn in life, is no guarantees. You know, for a job that somebody else does better, all of a sudden you're on the bottom of the list and falls through, you know, all kinds of stuff. For the environment, you think you can run from God in an environment? You can find that perfect environment on this planet in the last days? Come on. You got more doctrine than that. The environment's just going to get screwier and screwier. Earthquakes are going to start to abound. You know, we're not hearing a whole lot about those. I mean, they're happening. The magnitude of their occurrence is going to accelerate, and all the other things that go on in life. I mean, I feel really graced out, even though I grew up in Tornado Alley. Tornadoes were exception to the rule. You know, you might see one, hear one or two on occasion, you know, in the spring or late summer. And not until I moved up here till it did explode down there. Now they have them all over the place. So now I just put up a little snow. Okay, I'll take that. Trust me, I'll take snow over a tornado any day of the week. I mean, environment. But, you know, the SCA wants what the SCA wants. Psalm 119, 1 and 2. How blessed are those whose way is blameless. Their path of life, the decisions that they make in maintaining their NPR in life and service to God, their integrity is intact because it's based on the truth, directed will of God in regards to their lives, who walk in the law of the Lord. The modus operandi, the method of operation, in regards to our Christian path, our manner of life is according to the dictates of Bible doctrine. How blessed are those who observe His testimonies. Anytime you throw out a little doctrine to somebody, whether you recognize it or not, you're witnessing. It's the testimonies. The testimonies of God. Dissemination of the Mosaic Law. That's a testifying to God, see. You don't have to tell everybody about all your tests in life, etc. You know, to have a testimony. That's the way the fundies like to do it. Like to get people all riled up. Now, you throw out doctrine. You're observing His testimonies. Who seek Him with all their heart. And you're not just some superficial, flaky, lukewarm believer that takes doctrine on a smorgasbord approach. What it likes, what one likes, they adhere to. What one doesn't like, they just dismiss it or disregard it. No, they seek Him with all their heart. It is their life. Again, they can't think of life in any other terms as Psalm 128, 1 through 4. Again, the fear of God is the point of interest to begin with. How blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in His ways. God has His ways, man has theirs. Now you can make up your mind which way you're going to walk. Who are you going to hold hands with? A lot of believers want to hold hands with both the world and God. No care in the world. Now, that's going to cost you. God is a jealous God. Either you give Him your affection, all your affection, or quit flirting with Him. And the more doctrine you get, the more disgusting, really, the visual of the lukewarm believer is. They can't commit themselves either to the truth or not to the truth completely. They got to have an admixture. They got to mix it all in there together. Those are spiritually flaky people, and they're repugnant in regards to their approach to God. Like wanting to have two lovers. And you won't commit yourself to, you know, your right opposite number otherwise. Disgusting. When you, verse 2, when you shall eat of the fruit of your hands, you will be happy and it will be well with you. The one who orients to doctrine, commits himself to doctrine, they will experience that inner happiness in all that they do, from the simplest of things of sitting down to a meal, whatever God provides, because one's oriented, adjusted to their niche, etc. There is a presence of well-being. I've learned the importance of that in my older age. The presence of well-being. When you're young, full of vim and vigor, you don't even think about that generally. But to have that balance of mind and emotion, calmness of life, and presence of well-being, it comes from orientation to Bible doctrine in one's life. Think about, you know, how the all the great things the rich and famous get to do, you know, fly their private jets, be on their yachts. But think about why they go do this. They like to go out and sit somewhere and relax and have a good time. Well, you can do that without any of that stuff. The FCA tried to convince you you can't. It won't be as fun. Well, you want to listen to your SCA, then you can be like the rest of the world. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. That's because one was discerning in regards to their right offset number. And they manage their household correctly otherwise. And it is a productive spouse. It is a blessing in union with you as a husband, as it would be considered in this vein. Your children like olive plants. Put them on a toothpick and put them in the martini. Olive plants. They're greasy all the time. No. Around your table. No, it'll be your reproduction, your family life will be harmonious. It'll be a pleasure. Behold, for thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. John 13:17. With respect to Jesus' teaching, actually falling on the heels of the foot washing incident, orientation, acclimation to authority, that's big in God's eyes. We're in a society that promotes rebellion. It encourages it. All in the name of freedom. Okay. But you understand, God doesn't look at these things that way. While we as believers aren't get caught up in those types of activities in our life. Disrespectful. All the other things that go with it. Verse 17, if you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. You orient and acclimate to God's plan for your life in fellowship, forgiving, etc., as the context emphasizes. You'll have that inner happiness. It'll be part of your life. And then John 15:11. Again, emphasis on being in fellowship and then applying Bible doctrine. Following the allegory of the vine and the branches. If you abide in me, verse 7, and my words abide in you, be in fellowship, intake Bible doctrine, so that you know how to pray intelligently. Ask whatever you wish, continuing in verse 7, and it will be done for you. By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, the application of the doctrine. That's what glorifies God. But that application must be done with knowledge. The Jews had much zeal, but without knowledge. See? A lot of Fundies had a lot of zeal, but without knowledge and other religious types. To do so, to apply doctrine in fellowship, in harmony with the truth of Bible doctrine, in step with God's directive will, as we would say. You then give evidence to be my disciples. Verse 9. So just as Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love, divine love. If you keep my commandments, application of the doctrine, you will abide in my love just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you. Christ had perfect joy, perfect plus H. And we can experience the same plus H if we orient to the teaching of his word, and that your joy may be made complete to enjoy at maximum capacity in total fullness. That obviously extends on into the NR phase 3. So plus H is part of growing up spiritually and applying doctrine. So E plus H is therefore an expression of the believer that is operating in the sphere of divine love. As we read verses 9 through 11 there in John 15. Abide in my love and keep my commandments. It's amazing how many Christians don't even know what real love is according to doctrine. Because of people's sloppy approach, superficial approach with regards to their studies of the Scripture. They haven't come to this recognition. F, the inner plus H that comes from the Lord, is part of His logistical support for the believer in time. God provides this as encouragement to us. Nehemiah 8, verse 10. Then he said to them, go eat of the fat, drink of the sweets, send portions to him who had nothing prepared. Extend blessings that God has given to you, to others that may not have. For this day is holy to our Lord. Do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. You don't let the world get your goat. You let doctrine rule. Don't let the world get you down. Become one of the many psychotic types of individuals that are more and more becoming part of our society. Depressed and all these other things. Now, you look for the happiness of Bible doctrine in your soul to keep you mentally and emotionally stable. And you draw upon it. And don't let the things of the world otherwise concern you to the degree that it's going to impact you in a negative way. Like water rolling off a duck's bill. Often people confuse that with people that people don't care. No, it's not that. We do care. But we're not going to let it wrap us around the axle so that we're distracted. Now we got another little excuse that we can go after and pursue to distract us from the importance of Bible doctrine in our life otherwise. Philippians 2, 17 and 18. So happiness is our strength. Paul says, but even if I have been poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, in his role as an apostle, communicator, his ministry, whatever ordeals he goes through in his life, sufferings, persecutions, etc., in order to perform his ministry. In that sense, his life, if you will, is being sacrificed on behalf of others who will otherwise receive the good news from him. He says, even if that is occurring, I rejoice and share my joy with you all. He still has plus H. And that comes from his own orientation to his ministry. To know what God's doing in his life personally. And you too, I urge you, verse 18, rejoice in the same way and share your joy with me. To support one another with the inner support spiritually that we ourselves have. And here, in terms of plus H. So G, blessing, and plus H is the lot of the believer that pursues peace in time. So to be a peacemaker, this also brings about inner happiness. Proverbs 12:20, Old Testament. Deceit is in the heart of those who devise evil. You've got to recognize that the world is constantly scheming. Negative volition is constantly scheming to advance their own agendas, their own ways. And they will put on a front as necessary. To hook anybody in that will fall for their ploys. That is being deceitful. They'll try to use doctrine to convince you, even though they are completely maladjusted in and of themselves. Often. Deceit is in the heart of those who devise evil. That's what's down within. God knows these things. The discerning believer will figure these things out. The counselors of peace have joy. For those who are straightforward, who lay their cards on the table and offer it as a peace proposal. And that's what regulates their relationships. They find inner happiness. They have joy to be the peacemaker. Matthew 5:9. Again, the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. To be a peacemaker, again, is to extend the truth of Bible doctrine to others. It's never at the compromise or the cost of your own relationship of peace with God. People will either grab a hold and shake your hand in agreement and accept it, or they will not. But for one who is willing to extend these terms of peace as God has so outlined for mankind, they are recognized and will be recognized as being the offspring of the divine love parent, God Himself. See? And they are blessed. Hence, happiness, peace, those things are part of their portfolio of assets in regards to their Christian life. So age, now contrary to the world who looks at details in life and relationships and things of this nature as that which maintains or sustains happiness, it is not that way with Bible doctrine. So age plus age is not contingent upon pleasant circumstances, but is available in the midst of affliction and pressure, persecution, testing, no matter what test it may be. 2 Corinthians 7:4. Great is my confidence in you. Part of discerning is looking beyond problems often that believers have and truly seeing positive volition that is possessed by those same believers. The Corinthians had all kinds of problems. Now, you don't take and run with something like this. They're Corinthian being addressed because they're in their local church. Their NPR is intact. He's not writing to Christians running around all over the place outside of the church. He's writing to the Christians. But Paul, in spite of all their difficulties and issues that they have to overcome, Paul sees positive volition in the ranks. And you got to recognize this is where he's coming from in regards to these verses. Great is my confidence in you. Great is my boasting on your behalf in regards to the spiritual matriculation that has occurred in applications, evidence in applications that he obviously, as their shepherd, is able to encourage others with, hence his boast in them. I am filled with comfort. I am overflowing with joy in all our affliction. In spite of whatever pressures that come with the ministry and as a local church, this does nothing to diminish Paul's own plus H in his own life. And he's overflowing with joy. Yeah, the ministry has its times and moments, but overall, one recognizes the magnitude of what God has done and provided respect to the local assembly, the local church which they are a part of. Second Corinthians 8:2. So in spite of testings, health or otherwise, joy is available. Now, brothers, we wish to make known to you the grace of God. Verse 1 here, this revolves around the application of financial help towards Jerusalem. The church in Jerusalem was under great persecution during the early church. And you can imagine as they departed from mainline Judaism. Be like a bunch of Christians that come together in their geographical, God's geographical will for them would be at the Vatican in Rome. You know, and they depart from the great whore and they establish sound doctrine. You can imagine the persecution. Well, that's the only example I can come up with, but it's apropos. They're under great persecution and other churches jumped in to apply and help. And he says, to make known to you the grace of God which has been given in the churches of Macedonia. And then verse 2, that in severe affliction, literally, great ordeal affliction, their abundance of joy and their deep poverty overflowed in the wealth of their liberality. These were not other churches that helped out. Were not those who were financially wealthy. They were just very liberal and gracious in their application. They applied over and beyond, really. And they found great joy in that. Sometimes part of the appreciation of the test is recognizing when one does make a sacrifice, it's not a sacrifice if it's not going to hurt a little. But then put a little pressure on you somewhere down the line. It's really not a sacrifice, is it? That's just a matter of it. This is the way it is. 1 Thessalonians 1:6. In regards to the church at Thessalonica. You also became imitators of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much tribulation, all the persecution that they received from their counterparts around them in their society, with the joy of the Holy Spirit. God the Holy Spirit, obviously, being the source of that inner happiness, inner joy. Then Hebrews 10:34. Where you showed sympathy to the prisoners and accepted joyfully the seizure of your property, knowing that you have for yourselves a better possession and an abiding one, in regards to those sacrifices made in camaraderie and helping other believers in the early church, and the consequences that they paid by society and even under political persecution. Often Christians have undergone these things, and they still had much joy because they had their eyes over and beyond what man can do. They had their eyes on God. They had their eyes on Bible doctrine. They went to sleep at night no matter what circumstance, situations, with a clean conscience, a good conscience, and a pure heart. See? Father, again, we thank you for the truth of your word. We ask God, the Holy Spirit, to utilize these things. In Jesus' name, amen.